This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not except in surrender and submission to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah. Fear Him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of Allah, and the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the Muslims till the Day of Judgment in the Quran the stories of previous nations. And these stories are not in the Quran for entertainment. They contain profound lessons that relate to all of the conditions and the times that humans go through, that believers go through. One of the main reasons Allah revealed these stories to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to enable him to handle the challenges of his time. Although the times of the prophets before were different, the challenges were somehow different. There were similarities, but there were great differences, yet the lessons are universal. And this is why the Quran will remain a source of guidance. And when we Muslims read the Quran, and we see the disparity between our times and what the Quran describes, we have to blame ourselves for our inability to read the Quran and understand it. For our inability to ponder the Quran and take lessons from it, the Quran is not to blame. It's the perfect word of Allah. And it, as it was sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the challenges of his time, it was also sent to us and to the challenge and to address the challenges of our times. So we should take responsibility for that inability to translate the Quran, to find the solutions of our times in the Quran. If we approach the Quran with a secular mindset, we won't be able to understand it. We would think that it relates to previous times, but it does not address the challenges of modern times. And that is an echo of what the disbelievers in the past said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, "Ma hadha illa asatir al-awwalin." They said, "These are the stories and the myths of the people of the past." And a lot of us display this attitude today. So when we look for solutions at our personal level, in our personal life, in our family life, or at the level of the ummah in general and at the global level, we tend to trust the contributions of humans today. We look up to them for the solution, not realizing that the Quran that most of us read, if we read, we read for barakah and blessings. And we have reduced it into a ritual, something we just take some spiritual blessings from. But we assume, unfortunately, because we have been contaminated, we assume that the Quran does not hold the solution and the right prescription and the right diagnosis of what we are going through. The Quran is powerful for those who are able to understand it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in their stories, the stories that are mentioned in the Quran, there are lessons. There are practical lessons. Ibra is a lesson that you can transfer into your life and implement and utilize. There are lessons, profound lessons for the people of what? Ulul albab, the people of sound hearts. The people of sound hearts, not the people of intelligence. Although when you become a person of a sound heart, you become intelligent automatically. And you could be intelligent in matters of the world today, but because you're functioning on an operating system that is corrupt, like the modern ideologies of today, the way people think, the mindset, the most dominant mindset in the world today. Even if you are the most intelligent, you are deceived and you are delusional. When you develop a worldview that is designed by people who don't believe in Allah, and you've been educated, you've been indoctrinated from a young age into this kind of thinking and this kind of worldview, then you approach the Quran with that mindset, you won't be able to penetrate the wisdom that is in the Quran. The Quran would seem as though it is irrelevant to our times. And there is no way out for our ummah these days. In the past, today, and in the future, there is no escape. There is no prosperity for our ummah except in the Quran. And you would hear that often among the Muslims. People would say, let's get to the practical solutions of how we can handle our problems. People say, just read the Quran or study Islam. Okay, we'll do that, but let's get real about our problems. That's a mindset of defeat. The ummah will never get stronger with this kind of thinking, because that's the kind of thinking that is engineered, that is designed in the first place to keep our ummah inferior. And that's the problem with this type of ignorance. When we have swallowed all this contamination, it feels as though you know, but you actually don't. But it feels so. People would feel intelligent. People think they are more intelligent and insightful than others. They think when you talk about the Quran, oh, you're so attached to the glorious past of Islam.
Or you think somehow magically reading the Quran will change the world. Yeah, that's because you're approaching the Quran with the same mindset that the disbelievers approach it. And we don't even realize it. The Quran is transformative. The knowledge that Allah sent us is transformative, and it was not only sent to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was sent to all of the times to solve their problems, to enhance their life, put them on the straight path. And today we'll take a very simple and quick example from Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. We will try to learn some lessons from him. And Allah says about the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ, that we narrate to you the best of stories. The best of stories, because of the amount of lessons that you will find in this surah. So Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, he sees a dream as he was a child. He's the child of a prophet, Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam, whose one of his names is Israel. So Bani Israel are the children of Ya'qub, the descendants and the progeny of Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. So Yusuf alayhi salam, a child, sees a dream that the sun and the moon and 11 planets are prostrating before him in his direction. So he narrates the dream to his father, who was a prophet, who had knowledge bestowed upon him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understood what that means. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, and thus your Lord favors you. That's the interpretation of the dream. He favors you. With what? With revelation, with knowledge. He teaches you how to interpret dreams and how to interpret something else. Here, يُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, to teach you the truth and the reality of things, and that's about revelation. You become a prophet. But at the time, Bani Israel, Ya'qub alayhi salam and his children were not in any official position. And Ya'qub alayhi salam could read from the dream that the moon, the sun and the moon and the 11 planets would prostrate to Yusuf alayhi salam. Not only would he become a prophet, but he would also become what? A king, an official, a person with authority, political authority. He was a prophet and he knew the interpretation of the dream. But you look at the family, it's a simple family going about its own business. And prophets, they didn't have to go about teaching people and educating people. They didn't come with a mission like the messengers, like a rusul. The prophets came to confirm a message that came before them. And they would teach the people around them, but they would not go about giving their life over to a mission to spread the message. So it was a family that kept to its own affairs. They didn't have political power. So how a child like this is going to possess power? Especially that at the time where they were in Palestine, there was no government or there was no state that was powerful. Very unlikely, almost impossible. There are no means. It's unimaginable. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power and might over everything. When Allah wants something, He makes it happen. So the impossible can become possible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many people look at our state today and they say, it's impossible, it's possible. But if you connect to Allah, if you truly trust Allah, if you take your life and your mission in this life seriously, the impossible becomes possible. Because it's not upon us. What's upon us is to do what we can. But the real change comes from Allah. And then this innocent child among his siblings, his brothers, he feels safe. But the first betrayal comes from his brothers. His blood brothers who share the same father. Coming from the same father. They are the ones who stabbed him in the back. And it wasn't a minor issue. It wasn't they just ganged upon him and bullied him. They tried to kill him. Murder him. They were envious. They were jealous. And this shows But Shaytan, who was the first one to be jealous of Adam alayhi salam, and then he inspired one of the children of Adam to have envy and jealousy towards his brother, thus he killed him. And that's the poison that poisons the ummah. How many of us are jealous? Sometimes people are jealous of their own brothers and sisters, their siblings. People are jealous of their spouse. People are jealous of their friends. People are jealous of everyone who's been given a blessing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mind your own business. Allah knows what He's doing with His creation. He knows when He gives a person wealth, when He gives them beauty, when He gives him power. Allah knows what He's doing. So don't think you know better. Because when you are envious, you think you know better than Allah. That's the philosophy behind envy and jealousy. You think you know better than Allah. That's what jealousy is. That's what envy is. This is why it is an act of defiance against Allah. It's a serious illness. And no one is free from it. No one is free. When the moment you think you don't have jealousy and envy, that's the moment you are sure that your heart is saturated with it. Because it's not a matter of whether you have envy or not. It's whether you are aware of it and working against it, not allowing it to take the better of you. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. And the scholars say, مَا خَلَى جَسَدٌ مِّنْ حَسَدٍ. There is no body. There is no physical body, meaning there's no human being who is void of jealousy and envy. Everyone has it. But it's how hard and sincerely you work against it to undo it and not allow it to poison your heart, and thus you hurt others and harm them. So his brothers conspired against him. And they decided, you know, to be generous with him, to be graceful with him. We're not going to kill him. We're just going to throw him, leave him in the well. He'll be picked up and we will get rid of him forever. So he's taken into slavery. He's sold into Egypt, into slavery as a slave. Yet nowhere in the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam, you find him bringing up or complaining about his brothers. He did not develop a victim mindset. And this is something Muslims have started to develop and take from a lot of the common ideologies today. A lot of the social movements today, they promote victimhood. They depict it as heroism. When a person with morality cannot adopt the identity of a victim. Yes, we stand for justice. And we fight for justice, morally. But we don't cry around all the time about how others wronged you, because there will always be those who wrong you. Because it disempowers you. It takes away the help of Allah. It makes you focus on what happens to you rather than what you can do to change the situation. So Yusuf alayhi salam, nowhere in his story, he goes to prison, he's set up by the wife of Al-Aziz, then he becomes even an official, but nowhere he complains about his brothers. Oh, it's all because of them. It's a calamity and it happened. Live with it. And move on and start doing some positive change. Don't keep talking about it, whining about it, telling everyone you meet about it. And it's wanted for us and for the Muslim Ummah to adopt this mentality. Why? Because it weakens us. It seems as though we are standing for justice, but it weakens us in our hearts. We start begging the persecutor, the oppressor, to stop their oppression. You don't beg as a believer. You don't put your head down as a believer for other than Allah. So then Yusuf alayhi salam is taken into the house of Al-Aziz, and then he goes through this temptation. Had he developed a victim mindset, you know what's the problem? One of the main problems with a victim mindset is that you start to justify anything. I was wronged. I was betrayed. They did this and that to me. I have the right to. You become resentful. And when you are resentful, you justify all moral violations. You say, I was wronged, and I can wrong other people. What can I do? I'm traumatized. So now I'm in front of a temptation. A powerful woman, a beautiful woman, a resourceful woman. And I have the perfect setup to commit a sin that is very attractive to every young man. And many times it takes over the people and they have no choice about it, right? He doesn't say, oh, I was betrayed by my brothers. I was deprived of the love of my mother. I've been sold into slavery. What can I do? I'm helpless. And then you get into all of this evil. But he didn't do that. What did he say? He said, Ma'ad Allah, innahu rabbi ahsana mathwaya, innahu la yuflihu al-zalimun. He had a moral standard, clear. He said, A'udhu billah, I seek Allah's protection from this evil. Yes, it sounds beautiful and tempting. But you know what? It's immoral. And you can never get something good from immorality, even if it tastes sweet. The destruction that comes upon you after that is multifold. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And that's a word for our youth. The temptation that you find in the opposite gender, the temptation that you find in drugs, the temptation that you find in smoking, the temptation you find in video games, the temptation you find in all of the entertainment and all of the attractions and the traps that you have around you. Wallahi, it's not worth it. It looks beautiful at the beginning, but the moment you're stuck in it, many times your life is ruined for good. It's not worth it. Don't fall for the temptation. The reason Allah gave us halal and haram is to protect us as well. There is wisdom in that we can't see. And then Yusuf alayhi salam is set up and sent to the prison. Unjustly, unfair. He's in the prison. And the moment he meets the other prisoners, he doesn't talk about his brothers. He doesn't talk about the wife of Al-Aziz. He doesn't talk about the other women who set him up so he was falsely put in prison. He doesn't talk about that. What does he talk to them about? Allah. Allah. He tells them about Allah and about the worship of Allah. That's how we deal with life. And that's how Prophet Muhammad ﷺ learned from these lessons. And this is how he dealt with his reality and with the challenges he had to deal with. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. Prophet Yusuf عليه السلام comes out of prison with a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you adhere to the guidance of Allah, Allah will bring you a way out unexpectedly. So it's not necessarily about your effort, but you have to be sincere and you have to do what you can. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a way out for you. Allah will provide for you from ways you never expect. Because no matter how we think that we have mastered reality and we understand the world, what we know is a small fraction of reality. Everything is in the hands of Allah. So Allah turns him from being in prison. Now he's taken as the main assistant and the main minister by the king of Egypt, the most powerful, probably the most powerful nation on earth at the time, the most resourceful nation on earth. And it was disbelievers. They did not worship Allah. They were not upon the truth. Yet Yusuf alayhi salam, in that context, in that situation, being educated by and enlightened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew how to understand the situation. And this is why Muslims, depending on the situation, and there is fiqh behind this, there are principles behind this, consistent principles behind this. In certain situations, yes, you can be with the disbelievers and work with them, cooperate with them towards what's good. But there are moments that you can't do that as well. How? Scholars know. If you have not studied Islam thoroughly and properly, you can't understand this. You can't make a decision about this. You can't say, oh, Yusuf alayhi salam, he worked for a non-Muslim government, so everyone can just do this. No, there were certain conditions met as well, but you are not aware of them. And in Islam has a system that provides for all of the details. So that any kind of cooperation like this does not compromise on your principles. Does not bring about more harm than good. You can't judge it by the surface. And then Yusuf alayhi salam, being in power, he does not abuse it. He's not resentful. He uses that power to save lives, to save people from the imminent famine. And he's just and fair to everyone. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him power. And eventually Allah brings his brothers to him. To him, and they are in need of him. And he has authority over them. And even then, he does not abuse them or bully them. And eventually the whole problem is solved. And his dream becomes true. And his parents are brought along with his siblings to Egypt. And he is sort of the prime minister of Egypt. Probably the most powerful after the king in that land. Yet he doesn't abuse that power. Even when he talks to his father, when his father joins him, when he talks to his father about what happened, he said, مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. Allah blessed me after shaitan has brought that problem between me and my brothers. He didn't say, my brothers abused me. He didn't hold it against them. Because he's a free man. Because when your heart is with Allah, you are free. You are free from resentment. You are free from guilt. You are free from that kind of pathetic and pathological evil where you're always blaming others. You're able to connect things to Allah and act on wherever Allah puts you. You act morally and you act with dignity and you proactively approach the situation. So that's just a simple example where we can benefit. A lot of our problems, you know, we're still doing the same things over and over again for the last 200 years. And we're expecting different results. And we don't want to learn. Calamity hits, we wake up, we want to fix it overnight. And then it goes down, we go back to sleep. And the perpetrators go back to what? Planning. Then a greater problem happens, then we wake up. Then we want to solve it overnight. We're not taking Allah seriously. We're not taking life seriously. We're so busy just getting attached to this dunya and getting as much as we can from it. And we're just a tiny bit different from non-Muslims in our approach to life. When we wonder what's going on, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to enlighten our hearts. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ghafir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al qawmi al kafirin. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم كن للمستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي غيرها من بلاد المسلمين. اللهم كن لهم ناصرا ومعينا. اللهم انصرهم بنصرك وأيدهم بتأييدك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، واجعلنا من الراشدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.
Allahu Akbar.
Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. Rabbana.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers, inshallah, we're praying the hallways to inshallah to clear it as quickly as possible, inshallah ta'ala. Please clear the banquet hall, inshallah, as soon as possible, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Also, today we have Masjid Quba from Ajax. They are here today, inshallah ta'ala. They have a property they're trying to buy for 2 acres. So, inshallah, be as generous as possible, inshallah ta'ala. We also have Bras Mukhalid Mawlid and Sanhar Conference. So, inshallah ta'ala, the tickets are outside and the flyers are outside also. So, inshallah, grab them, make sure you get them, inshallah, but get your ticket and get your flyers too, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Yes, also inshallah this Saturday and Sunday with Dr. Abu Umar, we will have this halaqa after Fajr, inshallah ta'ala, tafsir, inshallah ta'ala, Saturday and Sunday, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.